G'day everyone, and welcome back to the Luke's Lowdown podcast. I have another special guest with me today, my man Tim, who has been around and about during the COVID lockdown around the world. So I'm looking forward to chatting with him about the lessons that he has learned from lockdown. Tim, my man, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Luke. It's great to catch up with you again. Been a while since we hung out, did some crazy adventures.
I know. It has been a while. So I want to give people an idea of what your lockdown experience was like. Can you tell us when the world shut down, where were you and like location-wise, and what was your sort of living situation?
So I was kind of ahead of the game in some ways. So COVID really hit me literally on the 10th of March. So I was out, I was in London doing some work, doing some trainings for one of my companies, and then I had dinner with a friend of mine in the evening and got back to the hotel that I was staying in. And literally as I walked into the lobby of the hotel, got to my room, I went from feeling absolutely fine to feeling like I'd been hit by a truck.
So I just want to clear something up really quickly, because you dove straight into it, which is totally fine. It was awesome. You actually had the coronavirus.
Yes.
So
I've been there and done that.
Yeah, you were in London, and as you said, like you were out, you went to some event, and then you came back to the hotel and you felt really rubbish. So we're diving right into it, right into your experience, man. With the virus. So I'll let you go on. You got back to the hotel, and what happened?
So just went, literally it was like night and day as I got to the hotel, and then spent that night just feeling just really crappy, just body aches all over. Woke up middle of the night, actually it was the next night, I woke up in the middle of the night and it felt like I'd fallen asleep in the bath. The bed was so wet with sweat from the fever, but the fever was like really short-lived, and so it didn't go on and on and on and on. It was just like bang, super hard, and get it out of the way. And then the lung problems started, then the kind of the coughing, the pneumonia symptoms, which just went on and on and on. So it was kind of like the first couple of days I was in the hotel, and it was the beginning of everyone starting to talk about this in the UK. So the hotel were amazing. But I could tell that they were freaking out. So I was communicating via WhatsApp with the relationship manager for the hotel. I would leave everything outside the door. You know, I didn't leave a hotel room for 2 days. And so I made the decision that I had to get out and try and get back to Amsterdam. So I was living in Amsterdam at the time.
Yeah, and that's what
probably
I'm
not
say.
A very wise decision. Probably a very stupid thing to do, but
to
fully
travel,
masked up.
To travel back to Amsterdam, you mean?
Yeah. But I couldn't stay at the hotel.
What sort of state were you in, like, traveling that day?
Oh, I was not in a good space. Not in a good place. I've traveled a lot over the last 10 years. And traveling when you're sick is one of the worst things you can have to go through. It wasn't fun. Thankfully, the hotel was right next to London City Airport. And I only lived 10 minutes from Amsterdam Airport. So it was a very, very short flight, you know, very short commute. And it was full mask, gloves, everything. The only good thing was there was almost no one on the plane. The plane was almost empty.
When was this, mid-March?
That was the big, So I flew back on the 13th of March.
Right.
So it was before anyone had put lockdowns in place. And I just wanted to get home. You know, when you're sick and on the road and traveling, it's an extremely lonely, difficult experience. you know, I just was just craving my own bed and my own house.
So then you get back to your house in Amsterdam, living by yourself, and you feel like this. Like, what was the first couple of weeks like? Like, explain that.
It was super tough. Those first 2 weeks after developing the symptoms were so hard. Once I got home, I literally was bedbound for a week and a half. Like, even the physical exertion of getting out of bed to go to the bathroom in the morning would leave me in a coughing fit for like 15 minutes. You know, friends would deliver food because I couldn't go, you know, I didn't leave the house for over 2 weeks. And so I'd have all my food delivered. Thankfully, a good friend of mine started like a cooked meal delivery service for people who work in the drinks industry around Amsterdam. So he would deliver regular kind of delicious hot cooked food, which was an absolute lifesaver. So thanks, so Lewis, for that one.
Well done, Lewis. Did you have an appetite?
Yeah, I still had an appetite because it was definitely lowered. Because any sort of physical exertion would just leave me in bits. I was still hungry. It's just an infection of the lungs. Well, not just, but it, you know, attacks the lungs, not any of the other systems.
But did you, like, you know, we've had a guest on here as well, Kev, who has had the virus as well, and he lost his taste and smell. Like, did you have any of that, those symptoms?
Yeah, well, what I had was, so for about a week and a half, all I could smell was dust. It was like someone had just taken a big pile of dust off a kind of a dry summer park or a road and just shoved it up my nose. Like, you know, that's all I could smell. So it wasn't like I smelled nothing. Like, all I could smell was like dust. Couldn't taste any food properly, couldn't smell anything properly. Just, yeah, this weird dust thing going on.
And then, like, it must have been quite difficult, I say mentally, but even for you to process, because, like, you know, as you said before, like, it's been ages since we've done adventures. Like, you're a super, super fit guy. Just even when you are busy working, you work in the drinks industry, you have different drinks that you have that you sell and that you provide to different organizations and businesses and things. But it's not just like, you know, you're sitting at the end of the bar drinking your drinks and partying all night. Like, we've cycled about 300 kilometers around London before, and you were part of the 500 man challenge where, you know, we're out cycling all day in the summer's heat, and you've done ultra marathons in the mountains. And so, you know, you're just not like this guy who is in the hospitality industry who doesn't really take care of their health. It's the complete opposite. Was it really difficult for you to have that, just being able to walk from one end of your house to the other to go to the bathroom in the morning? Like, how difficult was that to go from being a really fit guy, also a really busy guy with work, to then basically you can't do anything?
Frightening. Frightening. Like, you know me for long enough now, and you yourself, you know, when you do these kind of crazy endurance things, you learn how to run through pain. You know, and you develop the mindset to be able to go, you know, I can get through this. But this was so different because it was attacking my lungs. And what I learned was, it's like the later stages of it, when the pneumonia gets really bad, it's actually your own immune system attacking your lungs. It's not even the virus anymore. But when your lungs are out of action, there's absolutely nothing you can do. There's no level, you can't push through that. You can't go, you know, this is just a pain in my leg or a blister or a, you know, broken something. I can run through this. You know, and I ran several marathons with a fractured shin and I got through that. But this was just a whole different level. And it took so long to improve that you start to get really worried. Like, have I done permanent damage here? Will I ever be able to do, you know, proper exercise again? And then you read all the scare stories in the news, you know, and you start to kind of go down that rabbit hole of going, well, you know, what are other people's experiences? And you kind of find all these like horror stories of people's lungs that have turned to jelly, and you know, well, maybe that's going to happen to me. So it's as much mental as physical. So it was a real struggle. And I had a moment about 2 weeks after I first contracted it, and I was like, right, I'm feeling a bit better now. I can get to the kitchen and I can, you know, cook my own food without having a massive coughing fit. So I'm going to jump on the bike, on the turbo trainer in the front room, and load up Zwift and just turn pedals for 15 minutes. No sweating, just want to feel like I've done something, you know, so just super low cadence, easiest gear I can put it in. And even like 10 minutes of just turning my pedals on my bike left me in a coughing fit for 20 minutes on the floor.
And that was like a few weeks after you first contracted the virus.
Yeah. Yeah. And that moment really got to me mentally, because I was just like, it's been 2 weeks and I still can't do anything.
So then how long did it take before you felt like you could actually do some sort of, I'm not even going to call it exercise, movement? Like how longer after you got off the bike, how much time was it before you start to felt like you could actually do some sort of movement?
So it was about another week after that I first ventured out of the house, and walked to the end of the street and back. And even that left me not in such a bad coughing fit. I was sort of coughing at the end of that, but just, and that may have been like a 150 meter walk. Nothing more. And then I just kind of slowly built up from there. So it went from kind of like, right, walk to the end of the street and back, to walk around the block, just maybe adding another, doubling that distance. And then every day, just trying to slowly build up a little bit, a little bit, a little bit.
So when, I'm just going to go back for a second, like when you were in this period of back in Amsterdam and you're really struggling and you had friends bringing your food around, like how, because obviously you were still doing some sort of work, how difficult was it to concentrate?
Yeah, super hard. So I would only manage to do like 5-10 minutes at a time, and then just
so you literally send one email and then have an hour's nap.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was, you know, for me, it was just it wasn't so much like getting any work done. It was just the mental reward of feeling like I'd done something, you know, rather than just going like, well, I've just been in bed for 2 weeks and done absolutely nothing at all. I still need to feel that I've achieved something, even if it's just like I've sent 5 emails in a day, like that positive reward. And also my companies are very small, so if I'm not active, everything grinds to a halt. So I needed to kind of keep something going.
So when you started to get outside, and as you said, like you started to walk around the park and things like that, what were some of the first things that you felt changed physically?
Slowly felt an improvement in the lungs. Because that, you know, that's where all the stress is. So that was the thing you noticed the most. But everything just became more difficult. Like everything became a challenge. And in Amsterdam, it's very common to live up very steep steps. The Dutch are famous for the steepness of it. It's like basically a ladder, right? To climb a ladder to get into your flat. You know, so even going up the stairs is a big effort. And you just feel tired all the time. I think because your lungs are not, because they're inflamed, they're not absorbing the same amount of oxygen as usual. So extreme tiredness. But that kind of, it gradually started to improve.
How long was that time frame from when you sort of felt like, oh, I can actually, you know, walk around or walk up my stairs, to my steep stairs to my flat, and like you're not bounding up it, but you feel not like you're about to cough a lung up?
I was at least a month. Maybe a little bit longer. Yeah.
Wow. And Was there like a significant moment when you woke up and you felt really different, or was it just gradual?
No, it's just gradual. It was more, it would be more like going in reverse. If I had kind of felt good one morning and I'd gone like, right, I feel much better, I feel a little bit better this morning, I'm going to go out and push it, you know, I'm going to do 2 laps of the block this time, or 2 laps of the park. And then the next morning I'd wake up feeling like shit.
Yeah,
I think I'm quite like you, and you know, with injuries, and it's, I just want to get back to it as soon as possible. You know, I'm not very patient when it comes to waiting for my body to heal.
So, with your experience, like obviously your experience is unique to you in this period of lockdown. Mm-hmm. Within that experience, what was the toughest thing, or the couple of toughest things that you had to deal with during that time in your experience?
I think the first one, maybe the hardest one, is the complete lack of human connection. Mm. And going from working in an extremely social industry, so working in the drinks industry, where there's always events, you're always out at bars with people, to not seeing anyone at all. And I went, I think it was 72 days, so it was over 2 months without seeing, without having any physical kind of interaction with someone in person, or having a physical interaction with somebody that I knew. So like, you know, at the end I was getting, you know, could go to the shops and buy food. 72 days without physically interacting with somebody that I know, and that was so difficult.
Yeah,
because as humans we are such social creatures, you know, we need human interaction, we need touch, we need physical contact, and when that's taken away from you, you know, there's no you know, the most severe punishment that we inflict on a human being these days is solitary confinement in prison, you know, and this is essentially a slightly lesser version of that, but a similar version of that complete removal of any kind of human contact.
Yeah, it's something that I've talked to a lot of people and they struggled with. I spend a lot of time by myself. I do a lot of my work from home in my office, and that's cool. But even I, throughout periods of time, just be like, it'd be nice to just go and hang out and see someone. I've got Van and my wife who's been at home as well, so at least I've got someone. But it's, my routine is very similar, has been throughout the whole year, even throughout lockdown. Not a whole lot has changed, but there were times where I was just a bit like, yeah, I'd like to go and spend a bit more time with humans. So I think whether, like, as you said, you live in a very human connected world with what you do in the hospitality industry, so you're always around people. Whereas for me, a lot of the time I spend most of my time by myself. And it doesn't matter what communities you're involved in or how your life is structured. I think we all crave that human experience, that human connection. So I can definitely understand where you're coming from. I think we all struggled with that during lockdown. But what were the, within your experience, and now you've come through the other side and you're fit and healthy now, what have been some of the positives that you've taken out of your own experience in the lockdown period?
One of the things that I've really enjoyed about it is, because you know, I run two businesses, and the whole business world has been kind of tossed up in the air with lockdown, and everything has changed so rapidly. We've seen a change in business more rapid than we have probably seen at any other time, at least in our lifetimes. And I really enjoy that, the kind of the creative side of that, the thinking on your feet, the planning and strategizing and acting with speed and agility. So I think that has been a lot of fun.
Interesting.
You know, there's a lot of people out there being very stressed about it and worrying because business as normal has been tossed in the bin. you know, and routines and everything that people kind of have built their lives around has been thrown away. But I'm someone that kind of quite thrives in that, like, creative, ever rapidly changing environment. So that's been quite a big one.
Yeah. So what have you learned about yourself through, because I want to jump onto that point that you just made. What have you learned about yourself during this period, whether it's personal or professionally as well?
I guess personally, it was a reaffirmation that human contact is super important to me. That you know, I really, really rely on that kind of social side of things, and that I struggle quite a lot with enforced extended time on my own. You know, because there's a difference between enforced isolation and chosen isolation.
So
I think that was quite a big one. I learned that I'm not a particularly good cook.
Well, I guess, yeah, you know,
I need to work on my cooking skills a lot.
Knowing what you're good at and knowing what you're not good at are both positives, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you make some absolute shocking meals? Like, can you share some of those with us?
You end up relying on just rubbish stuff. It's like lots of baked beans and toast, and you know, I'm super interested in nutrition, but I think that I lack the confidence in my cooking ability to do anything exciting. So I think there's only like really, really shocking dishes that just lots of really boring stuff.
So you didn't make anything you couldn't eat?
No. I mean, I'll eat pretty much anything really. As long as there's no meat or fish or dairy in it. Probably it's vegetables.
Yeah.
Pretty happy with anything. It's hard to go wrong with vegetables. They do. They always taste good. But I would like to have more confidence in my own cooking to cook nicer stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So to go really broad now, I think whether you paid much attention to the news or watch television or whatever, it doesn't matter. But I just think there's just talking to friends and even family members, and I'm talking to everyone in general here, we sort of got a sense of what everyone who we talk to, their communities, how they acted, what their thoughts are, how they are reacting, and what they went through during the lockdown period. So what did the lockdown across the world, and as I said, I want to be this quite broad, what did the lockdown from the virus across the world, did it teach you anything about life in general or people in general? What were some of the bigger takeaways? Because I know you can be a bit of a deep thinker like myself. Were there any big takeaways that you sort of sat back maybe, you know, a short period of time ago and realized something about the world or people?
Yeah, I think it's been a super interesting time. And I think you've seen a lot of people reevaluating what they want from life and what the kind of this current life, the society that we've built for ourselves is. Because before the lockdown, you're just on the hamster wheel, right? And the hamster wheel is spinning super fast and you don't want to get off because it's scary because you've got all these commitments, you know, you've got a mortgage and you've got a car and you've got bills to pay and you want to buy the new, you know, you want to buy your new Pinarello bike or your latest on running shoes. So you've got to stay on the hamster wheel. And then all of a sudden, because of lockdown, the hamster wheel has stopped. And you're like, oh, I can get off now. And I can go and see what else is outside of the hamster wheel. And I think it's been super interesting to see that and to see people kind of step outside and go like, I don't need to do this commute every day and I don't need to buy all this crap that I don't need, you know, that companies are selling me because they're telling me that I'm unhappy in this new scented strawberry candle maker will make me the happiest. We'll find Nirvana if I buy it. And people reconnecting with, well, it's been really exciting seeing people reconnect with nature and taking up kind of hobbies, you know, or other activities, like the number of people making banana bread, right?
That's right.
Like all of a sudden, everyone in the world discovered how to make banana bread. You're like, why? Why banana bread of all things?
Yeah.
We've built a nation of banana bread breakers.
Yeah, exactly. It has been really interesting. One of the themes that keeps coming up in these conversations I'm having with people is people are realizing, and you touched on this, that it's okay to slow down. And you know, it's one of those things where, especially in London, like where I live and where you have lived before as well, and any real big city, where just the energy and the flow of cities is quite busy, and people think, if I don't keep doing that, I'm gonna one, miss something, or two, like I'm too scared to do it. One of the realizations for me is that I am very good at slowing down now. Like I could work 16 hours every day, that's no problem, and train and do all that, but I've done that and I know how it ends up. So one of the things that was reinforced to me during the lockdown period was that the structure of my life right now is I feel like I've pretty much got it spot on, I think. And I'm starting to talk to people, not just in these conversations on the podcast, but just friends as well, and other friends as well, is that people are like, yeah, like I'm not actually missing out on anything if I slow down. And I'm starting to appreciate things like nature, being able to go outside and do things when I do slow down, but I'm actually still doing my job. I'm actually still doing the work I need to do, as well as enjoying nature, enjoying outside, cooking, baking, whatever it is. So I think for me, what I would love to see humans into the near future and the extended future is to acknowledge that the life that they live doesn't have to be 100% flat out on the hamster wheel, as you said, but it's okay to slow down and literally and figuratively stop and smell the roses before you go and do something else.
Yep, absolutely. And I've done it. You know, I've come back to our family home in Cornwall, working out of a shed, just deliberately slowing down, you know, spending more time in nature, more time doing some gardening, you know, less time working.
Awesome.
But still being super productive. And I think a lot of people are seeing the same. They're realizing, you know what, there is more to life than working 16 hours a day.
And
realizing that.
Like how
there's loads of others. You go first.
The production levels are still what they can be, but a lot of the times I think a lot of people have just been busy and not productive.
That's absolutely the point. I was having a conversation with someone earlier about it, and moving and businesses moving away from the mindset of paying people for hours worked, which is a very old-fashioned Victorian model, kind of when people worked in factories. You came in and you just sat on your factory line, and if you were there for 8 hours, you could produce this many items. So now moving towards an economy that's based on paying people for the work that they do rather than the hours they work, because then you are promoting productivity. You know, if someone can work from home and do all of the work they need to do in the day in 4 hours, fantastic, because then they've got all the rest of that time to live life and to be happy, and they're going to go, right, in 4 hours I can do all of it. And you're incentivizing them to be productive, to work hard, because the reward is that then they get all this free time to do their own thing, and then they're going to be well slept, going to be happy. If you're a business, they're probably less likely to leave your business, they're going to talk well about you, and you've got all these side benefits coming.
That's really interesting. Really interesting. I hope actually that will come into more of a mainstream over years to come. So Have there been any real insights that you think that you've gained during this lockdown period that you think will implement or change the way that you live your daily life into the future?
Yeah, so for me, it's I've given up my apartment in Amsterdam, come back to the UK, and so now it's, you know, before lockdown, I was on a path of going to live in one place and be Amsterdam or London, and it's going to be like this, you know, one physical location, and all the time will be spent there. And now it's right, I'm going to spread myself across multiple. I want to make sure I have super high quality of life. Now is important to me as work. And whereas before I would always be going into London, you know, living in Amsterdam, flying into London, quite often needlessly, like stuff I could do over Zoom or a phone call, I would go in person. And so that has all changed. And now what I'm thinking is that I'm going to split my time between being in Cornwall, being in London, probably base myself here more, because now we can work more remotely. You know, there's less need to be physically based in London for the work that I do. So being more in the countryside has been important. And also it's really given me the impetus and the real drive to start putting down roots. You know, I've always been a bit of a wanderer. You know, I've lived in Australia, New Zealand, Amsterdam, India, UK. So I've never put down roots, and I never bought a house, and never kind of started to settle somewhere. And now I feel the need to want to do that.
Nice. Well, plant yourself somewhere so you can grow, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that for me right now is like a really strong driver, which it never has been before. Before lockdown, it wasn't either. So it's definitely had a profound change.
Well, that's good. It's lovely to hear that, you know, although that you had a horrific experience having the virus, having to bounce between countries just to sort of be at home and to feel safe. I'm glad that you were able to gain some valuable insights that's going to help your trajectory for the rest of your life and find some settlement, some peace, and help you grow as an individual and also your companies, mate. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. You know, it's been an extremely difficult year, but I think the most challenging situations are the ones where you grow the most. And that's not just me personally, but as a global society. You know, we've seen in 2020 so many amazingly powerful conversations from, you know, green development and how do we reframe our capitalist society after lockdown through to the Black Lives Matter protest and serious movement towards a more equal society for everyone. You know, there's so many like really strong and interesting conversations going on right now.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm looking forward to how those being part of, and how those conversations around the globe will continue and make the world a better place, without sounding woo-woo-y and cliche, but it is like, let's we all can do our fair share to make the world a better place. And if we can all do what we can do in our own communities, and then those communities within those further communities, then I think we can make real change.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm so excited for the future and build it. And as you said, building a better world. We absolutely can do it.
We can do it, and we will do it together, mate.
We will.
I just want to watch the time. So I want to say thank you for coming on to the Luke's Lowdown podcast and chatting about your very unique experience during the COVID-19 lockdown and the lessons you've learned, which are very powerful ones there for people to take away. I think definitely a few people will be listening to this episode twice to go back over and to make sure that they take everything they can out of this. So, mate, I've got gratitude for you taking this time today to chat with me. I want to say thanks very much for coming on.
It's a pleasure. It was always good to chat to you, mate.
No worries. All right, everyone. I want to say thank you to you all as well for taking the time to tune in to another episode of the Luke's Lowdown podcast. We are here with my man, Tim, who had the virus, got through it, and now is even stronger moving on with his life. And this has all been about lessons from lockdown. Remember, if you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe, like, and share it with a friend, maybe two or three of them, so you can share the insights that I've gained and that we can all learn from the people who I interview and chat with. It's lessons from lockdown, and it's in a unique time in our lives, and we can all learn if we look through the lens of being teachable. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day wherever you are in the world. And remember, keep smiling, be happy.